The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. We've got another interesting one today, Xanadu Mines. The company trades under the code XAM, or X-ray Alpha Mike. It was last quoted at 4.2 cents for a market cap of about $48 million. Xanadu is a Mongolian-focused copper-gold explorer. Now, to tell us about the Xanadu story, we have with us today Colin Moorhead, Xanadu's independent non-executive director. Colin is a well-known geologist who had long stints with BHP and Newcrest. I will get Colin to expand on his background for us in a moment, but first I will just say by way of a brief introduction to the company that its flagship Harmattai copper gold project is in the South Gobi region of Mongolia, about 420 kilometres southeast of the capital Ulaanbaatar. Mongolia is considered to be one of the last frontiers for big copper gold porphyry discoveries, and I'm sure everyone is aware of the Oyo Tolgoi copper gold deposit that Rio Tinto is bringing up to full speed for the next 50 years or so in a joint venture with the Mongolian government. OT, as it is known, lies 120 kilometres south of Harmattai. It is worth noting that Xanadu has been active in Mongolia for more than 10 years, making it one of the few ASX or TSX juniors active in the country. And it's worth adding that while Harmattai is the flagship, Xanadu has other projects in its portfolio, including Red Mountain, which secured an earn-in agreement with Japan's JOGMEC, the group charged to secure that nation's raw material needs. Now, with that, I'm going to say g'day to Colin and welcome him to the show. G'day, Colin.
G'day, Barry. Thanks for that. Nice to be here.
Good on. Okay, Colin, it'd be great if you could just give us a bit of a background on yourself and what led you to sign up with Xanadu?
Sure, Barry. I was a long-term Newcrest guy. I'm actually a foundation member. I was a geologist, graduate GA with BHP, and eventually floated through BHP Gold into what would become Newcrest. And I had 20-odd years in the bush, including stints as the chief GO at Telfer. I was actually the first chief GO at Cadia, and went on to do Goswong in Indonesia. Came back into a corporate role and finished my last 8 years there as EGM Minerals, which covered global exploration and development. I left Newcrest in 2015 and joined Indonesian listed company Merdeka Copper Gold as their CEO. And I led the team that built the highly successful Tujuh Bukit oxide gold mine, and that's a gold cap to a deeper porphyry, and helped them get the exploration going on that porphyry. Came back to Australia and took up a number of non-exec and consulting roles, and Xanadu was one of them. And what attracted me to Xanadu was the nature of the porphyry intrusive complex, which reminded me a lot of Cadia, and I felt that I could bring some value to that story.
Right, okay. Now, Harmattai is considered already to be one, you know, an emerging world class deposit. I think it's around 600 million tonnes, containing about 1.9 million tonnes of copper and 4.3 million ounces of gold with a higher grade zone. I'm just wondering, that I take it, is the start of the story as far as you guys are concerned?
Yeah, it's these are interesting things. They're unlike the really young porphyries that sit around the rim of fire. They're long lived things that are truly complex. So they've got potential size to them, and they bear a few battle scars. So tend to be displaced by younger faults and take a little bit of working out, but. I certainly saw the potential here. The system, the lease is about 10 k's by 7 k, so it's you know, 70 square k's, which is, and we have mineralisation over that entire strike length, which is about double the strike length of Cadia from Cadia Rest at one end to Ridgeway at the other. Mm. So there's potential to fit a lot of copper and gold in that space, and I felt that with a systematic, focused approach to exploration, we could unlock that value.
So we're not talking one single deposit here. We're talking about a series of porphyries within a defined sort of area.
Yeah, that's true. The 600 million ton resource you spoke of is centred around some open pitable resources known as Stockwork Hill, White Hill, and Copper Hill. They were the first discoveries and basically stick out of the ground. So you can walk up to our crops and whack rocks with copper in them. And it was really the early Ivanhoe Turquoise Hill guys that came across and found it, and was one of their portfolio of targets. And Andy Stewart, our CEO, was one of the geos on that project. Of course, history tells us that the Oyutolgoi discovery sort of became bigger than Ben Hur, and Hamagtai was sort of left for later on. And doesn't mean it's a worse district. It's just further behind. So Xanadu's picked it up, and we're systematically exploring now. The eastern half of the deposit is under, or the tenement, sorry, is under shallow cover. So it's masked the geochem and geophysics a little bit. There's clearly porphyry targets out to the east that are basically only getting first pass drilling now.
Now, strategy is very important for when a company of Xanadu size approaches exploration projects like this. What's the strategy? Are you pushing for an early development, or is it let's explore this district properly and just see what we've got?
Yeah, listen, I think I was asked to join and really think about that strategy. There had been, it'd be fair to say, some muddled thinking around that, with a feeling that maybe we could do something with the oxide gold that sits in the supergene layer above some of these porphyries on a small scale, and maybe use that to fund our way into a large porphyry, which is clearly the strategy at Tujibuka for Medeka. That's not possible at Harmagtai. At Harmagtai, there is no epithermal gold cap, so to speak, identified yet. Now, the gold we have there is supergene, and therefore by its nature quite small. The strategy for us is clearly to finish exploring this thing and map out the entire resource potential, and hopefully define a world-class porphyry system that includes some higher grade components to it. Elsewhere, we're employing the same strategy at Red Mountain, and our third project, Yellow Mountain, which is yet to really get started. So, in a nutshell, our strategy is to find and define world-class porphyry copper deposits in Mongolia.
Now, we keep hearing one of your old employers talks about copper being the forward-facing metal. And the price has bounced from $2.50 a pound up to around $3 a pound at the moment. Major companies around the world are screaming out for new projects. I was just wondering, do you get many approaches from some of the majors about perhaps coming in to help you with the project? Or is the intention to add value yourselves as you go up the value chain?
Yeah, that's a good question, Barry. The short answer is yes. I mean, I think... At exploration manager level, all of the usual suspects are aware of this project. The secret is, in my view, having sort of sat on the other side of the fence and done that job for Newcrest, is to really look at deposits that differentiate themselves. There's a lot of undeveloped 0.4% copper deposits, porphyry coppers in the world. So you're looking to not only demonstrate the resource potential, but also things like strategic fit, political risk, time to production, capital intensity, in those type of aspects. And in that regard, and I don't claim to be a Mongolia expert, but I did get up there before the world shut down. Mm-hmm. Mongolia is actually quite surprising. Not only is the South Gobi flat and relatively sparsely populated, there is surprisingly good infrastructure in terms of road, rail, power, surprisingly good supply of groundwater. So a lot of the things that add capital cost and time to production that you would have to deal with in other parts of the world are well looked after there. We're also in Mongolia sitting on just north of the biggest customer in the world for copper. So I think in a number of ways, Hamagtai is well positioned. We do have a stated aim to grow the deposit towards a billion tonnes at 0.5% copper equivalent. So that would be, in equivalent terms, 5 million tonnes of copper. And our secondary aim is to have at least 100 million tonnes of higher grade material in there that would allow a starter pit or a starter block cave to get going and then unlock the rest of the value in the field. Okay. So our job is really to position this asset, to differentiate it as an attractive choice. Obviously, I've been involved in lots of porphyry developments and could build a team to take it through PFS and beyond if required. But right now, we're just looking to complete the exploration phase and see if we can attract some interest in the asset.
Right. So to that end, are you drilling currently?
Yes, we currently have 4 rigs operating. We did a successful raise recently, which allowed us to get drilling again. Started with 3, felt that we probably should add a 4th rig and get some good holes drilled before the winter sets in too badly. So we're up and running. We've effectively got 2 machines doing systematic step outs from known mineralisation using our structural interpretation. And we have 2 rigs out drilling undercover in the east, testing known porphyry centres for mineralisation. So it's a twofold tactics if you take it that way. One half of our effort is systematic step outs, the other half is sort of more greenfield discovery drilling.
And Red Mountain, a large but underexplored porphyry district in itself, and you've got the Japanese on board there. What's the story there?
Very honoured that JOGMEC chose to enter into a JV with us there. As you describe them, they're sort of the pioneers that look to get their foot on supply of products for Japan. And they've entered into a 4-year, $7.2 million US farming agreement with us to earn 51% of Red Mountain. Red Mountain is a cracking porphyry district in its own right. It's got lots of good geochem and geophysics on it. Historical drilling has some good grades there too. And our initial interpretation there is it's more like a North Parkes environment with numbers of sort of finger porphyries with tight high grade potential around those porphyries than what you see at OT and Hamagtai, which is more huge tonnages of moderate grade mineralisation. Mm. So we've got in there, we've done a big geophysics program with great success, actually. We did CSAMT. In fact, it was so successful we took that crew back to Hamagtai and did CSAMT there as well. And that maps out the structures and the intrusives quite well, and we're using that to improve our targeting. And we've just finished a program at Red Mountain with 2 rigs and assessing that data, and we'll be going back in there very shortly to drill again.
Okay. I should just check, are you guys managing that exploration at Red Mountain?
Yeah, we are. We're the manager of both programs, and I must say that Mongolia's handled the COVID situation a bit like WA. They've basically manage their borders very closely, and their internal economy is wide open. And we've had no problems whatsoever with COVID and managing operations in Mongolia, touch wood. And the industry's done a great job of training, drillers and geos and the people you need to provide the talent to execute safely and efficiently. Mm. So while it's not ideal, we're doing lots of Zoom meetings, but the guys on the ground are empowered and capable to execute quite well.
Now, you touched on Mongolia's politics, economy a bit earlier, but we all know it to be a young and vibrant, and I say very vibrant, democracy. There was a recent election. Was the outcome good for foreign mining investors?
Yeah, listen, I think it was. The ruling government was returned in a quite a strong result, which gives us stability. They've just also been local area elections where down in South Gobi the government did change, which means the people you're dealing with locally are all changing at the moment. But I think there was two key issues around at a federal level, if you like. The one is sorting out the problem with Rio and Oyu Tolgoi, and my understanding is that will get resolved sooner rather than later. And the second was with air quality in UB itself. Their sole source of power is coal-fired power stations, and the air quality, and everybody burns coal in their little GERS. So you get this pall sitting over the city, and that's quite a political issue. But I think Mongolia is a very strong mining country, well-educated people. A lot of their GDP comes from mining. They've got well-educated people, and I think that's recognised. I suspect if Mongolia government had its time again, it would do a different deal with Rio. I would think that situation will get resolved quite soon. Mm. I hope it does.
Yeah. And at this stage, ownership of your projects, I think, is how much is 87% thereabouts, is it?
Yeah, there's some minority interests. Mongol Metals, which is effectively us, holds the lease, and Xanadu has been earning into a 90% position. The other partner is the Carey Group, who have 10%. Free carry to the decision to mine. So, we're having discussions with all of those minority interests to see what we can do to clean things up and make things a bit more simple. But in raw terms, we're working to a 90% position there.
One of the fascinating things about the company, of course, is that it's got one of the biggest resource bases on the ASX, and clearly not reflected yet in the market cap. And just by the by, I've just realised that the resource that you have stated to date matches the Winu resource Rio's outlined at Winu in the Paterson province of WA. Obviously not a porphyry, but similar scale, and got everyone excited. What is it about Xanadu/Mongolia that seems to be holding back valuation for the company at the moment?
Well, listen, it's interesting you draw that parallel to Winu, and there's also Hot Chili's thing over in Chile. I think that, when you compare us on an enterprise value per pound of copper, we are very cheap. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One is, the effectiveness of which we've communicated, the nature of the resource and its potential. And working very hard on improving that situation with good benchmarks and comparisons across the industry. And second, there are some perceptions, some of them real, some of them just perceptions, about the risk associated with Mongolia. Mm-hmm. As a guy that's got scars from Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, and similar places, I think Mongolia is a walk in the park, but... there's perceptions of political risk, particularly around the sort of uncertain fiscal regime in Mongolia, which is something at an industry level we're trying to sort out. But I think, you know, the secret is, you know, let's make it a compelling story, and then people will get past that and see it for what it is.
Yeah. I must say, I'm in Melbourne lockdown, emerging from Melbourne lockdown, as you are. Haven't had a haircut yet, but I can tell you my hairdresser's been long in the stock for 5 years, so he's going to be excited to hear what you're saying there. I'll let him know. Just to wrap it up, but bring it all together, as it were, what should investors look out for, say, in the next 3-6 months?
Okay, so in terms of news flow, we've got those 4 rigs drilling. You'll see a quarterly come out shortly. I'm seeing the story starting to evolve. My geos are very excited, but we need to translate that to good drill results and resource growth. So I would be looking for news flow around drill hole results in the December quarter, and we'll look to update our resource estimates and tangible development type scenarios in the new year.
Right. Okay. Well, there we go. Everything minor investors in the junior space want to hear. Prospect of good drill results coming up, followed by resource updates, and we're talking big projects in one of the last frontiers for big copper gold discovery. So, Colin, thanks for your time today. Fascinating story, and wish you all the best with it.
Thanks very much, Barry, and I hope we can get out of jail soon.
Not wrong. Thanks.